The general welcomes Tamburlaine received. When he arrived, last upon our stage, have made our poet pen his second part, where death cuts off the progress of his pomp, and murderous fates throw all his triumphs down. But what became of fair Xenocrate? And with how many cities' sacrifice he celebrated her sad funeral, himself in presence shall unfold at large.
Please insert play here.
That's annoying, isn't it? You chose this podcast and it stops just as it's getting interesting. But all is not lost. You can have the rest of this play if you really want it. It can happen. You just need to become a patron of the podcast and then vote for us to make it for you. We are basically infinitely bribeable. So if you want to hear Tamburlaine the Great Part 2, in its entirety, we'll make it for you. Just vote for it as a patron. Go to www.patreon.com/beyondshakespeare. And that prologue was performed by Sarah Golding, performing the prologue to Tamburlaine the Great Part 2. Other parts are available. And I'm your host, Robert Crichton, with just a few thoughts about this particular prologue. Well, it's short, it's sweet, and it's spoilery. First off, it clearly expects you to already know what happened in Part 1. Everybody has seen it. It was the toast of the town. The success of Tamburlaine the Great Part 1, though presumably when he was writing it, it was just Tamburlaine the Great, has basically forced Marlowe to take it further and write a second part.
The general welcomes Tamburlaine received. When he arrived last upon our stage, have made our poet pen his second part.
It may have been conceived as a two-parter, but the prologue suggests not.
Have made our poet pen his second part.
It's a bit like something online. You've come to see Tamburlaine the Great Part 1. You'll love Tamburlaine the Great Part 2. Come and see his end.
Where death cuts off the progress of his pomp.
Spoilers. He dies. Thank you, prologue.
And murderous fates throw all his triumphs down.
And the fates. Mentioning the fates there, it sort of suggests that maybe they're going to be a major character. The fates are going to come in, zoom in on Tamburlaine, take him out. Are we going to see the fates? No, we won't. They're just invisible things doing stuff.
But what became of fair Xenocrate?
So it's this thing of what became of his beautiful wife?
Her sad funeral.
She dies.
Yes.
It's literally a next line, which I really liked.
Himself in presence shall unfold at large.
So he will unfold. Enter everyone other than Tamburlaine. You lied to us, prologue. You lied. And of course, this impression you get from the prologue is a bit unfair to the play. There's a lot more to it than just Tamburlaine and his wife's death. Yes, there's all the usual business of murder and death and more death. Quite a bit more death, a bit of conquering, some death. But in part two, Tamburlaine keeps it a bit more in the family with some issues with his sons. So for me, the great shame about Tamburlaine the Great Part 2, and to a lesser degree Part 1 as well, is it's rarely looked at as a play in its own right. If staged at all, it is usually as a cut-down version of both parts of the plays. So Part 2 acts effectively as Act 2. And that's after some cutting in the first place. Both plays aren't hugely long. I mean, it fills out an evening, but it's not excessively long as some other playwrights managed to do. And we know that the publisher of the text removed a comic subplot, or at least comic scenes. There's some business. And it's a really effective cut out of the play, to be fair, because until I'd seen that pointed out to me, I would never have guessed that it was supposed to have a comic subplot. It's not like there are scenes where characters wander off and then awkwardly they all re-enter again, as though a bridging scene has been removed, or at least I don't recall there ever being anything like that. So it has a pleasing unity in its own way, but it has already been cut down, and then to cut it down again and to treat it as one single unit of action, I think's unfair. It is a good play in its own right. It may suffer from being a sequel, but in many ways it has a more interesting set of themes than the first play. In part one, Tamburlaine kind of just wins a lot, and the audience is invited to delight in his horrors, and maybe possibly sit there waiting for him to get his comeuppance. I'm assuming there that most people don't really know in advance who Tamburlaine was. I could be a bit wrong on that front. In the second part, the empire expands. The question is more, how do you keep it all together? Tamburlaine's dynasty is clearly not stable at all. His conquests, therefore, made all the more pointless. Why keep conquering things if you're never going to be able to keep it? And when he is struck down by disease, the prospect of the centre holding is pretty dim. Without Tamburlaine, the power, and the instrument by which we are allowed to enjoy these horrors vicariously, dies too. It all sort of turns to ashes in our hands. So, actually, I kind of prefer part two. I find it has slightly more to say than part one. Once again, if you would like us to record this play or any other play written prior to 1642, not by Shakespeare, then become a patron. Go to www.patreon.com/beyondshakespeare and vote for it, or vote for individual scenes or speeches that you've come across and fancy, or if you've heard something that you like and you'd like us to do something similar to that, but something different. There are so many plays out there available. We will find something that fits your general mood, theme or tone, then do get in touch. And to close, we're going to close once again with that prologue, just to irk you as you can't listen to any more. I've been your host, Robert Crichton, and the prologue is performed by Sarah Golding. Enjoy.
The general welcomes Tamburlaine received. When he arrived, last upon our stage, have made our poet pen his second part, where death cuts off the progress of his pomp, and murderous fates throw all his triumphs down. But what became of fair Xenocrate? And with how many cities' sacrifice he celebrated her sad funeral, himself in presence shall unfold at large.
So last time, it went down well, so we wrote another play.
Yes.
I'm explaining why there's a sequel.